clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Well, I'm back in the studio. I'm glad to be back. I had fun out at the show. A little more about that here in a minute. Currently, it is 42 degrees at Slapout, 56 degrees at Woodward. So that's where that front's at. It's coming in with some north winds and chilling down about 15 degrees. 54 degrees at Hollis, 53 at Eric, 52 at Cheyenne, the home of the secret weapon. 56 at Sealing, 49 degrees at the May Ranch out here in the Texas Panhandle, 41 degrees at Lipscomb, 49 at Miami, 53 at Wellington, and 56 at Odell. Checking on the radar real quick, the rain's moving in. It's raining here in Elk City. Hollis, you've already got almost 0.2 inches, and it looks like it's raining pretty good around Mangum right now, according to the radar. Anyway, the rains are moving in, a little bit of rain up in around Woodward and Beaver and in that area, but hopefully we all get some rain. There's some storms building out there, so I think we're going to get a little bit. Hopefully we get 3-4 tenths, go long ways right now. Okay, so I just got back from the Amaryllis Farm and Ranch Show. I had a few issues with myself Tuesday. That's my first. Mr. Jimmy Taylor just joined me in the studio, so I'm putting you on already. Anyway, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Good afternoon.
You too. And so that was my first live broadcast away from, and I didn't have a producer. It was Jimmy.
Well,
and it was it was different, but it was better yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I had some really good guests on the show. Tuesday I had Spencer Smith with 4Ag Manufacturer right here in Elk City, and thank him. I want to thank him very much from me and from KZO for letting me broadcast live from his booth. And then next to him, some more local people from Willow, Will and Julie Stair, and they've got the catch-all nets for wrap. And speaking of that, I want to challenge every farmer and rancher in our listening area that's listening, get one of those. I'm telling you, they're great deals. They either they got magnets on them, going back of your cake boxes, and I know everybody's got their little either a protein tub or wadded up under your. This makes it so simple. Throw, I think, what they say, 15-18 rolls of wrap in there, and you just punch it out with a piece of PVC onto the ground and put it in the dumpster or in your pile. Like, I know you got a pile and you guys burn it.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, it's great because the wrap is starting to show up in the bar ditches again. Feeding season's here, and let's show everybody that we are good stewards of the land, and pick up our wrap, keep it picked up. And right. So I hate to harp on that, but you know, when you got counties and districts and highway departments text me pictures year round of how many pickup loads of wrap that they pick up out of the bar ditcher or off the road. And just like Will, what inspired Will was he his mom was coming back from a ball game and something started vibrating really bad in her car, and she called him, and they had to, I think it was down there by the Granite Y, I think that's where it is, because he had to pull her car up on the gravel pile because he couldn't get under it. And it was hay wrap wrapped around her drive shaft or right around there. So, I mean.
Well, you're right, Jimmy. That reflects on all of us when something like that happens.
Yeah.
And that's the face that a lot of people put on their industry. So.
Yep. And
I know most people take care of their
majority wraps, of does.
But this would be a way to do that a little neater.
And what's actually cooler was talking with Will out there. You can also put your feed cake sacks in there if you use the cake sack, and if you don't have a cake box on there, it goes right on the back of your headache rack there. And then also farmers, while you're planting wheat, rye, whatever, peanuts, whatever, and you got it in by the sack, and stuff them sacks in there, and then take them to your burn pile or whatever. So it's a pretty cool deal, and I like it because it's made right here in Western Oklahoma.
You bet.
Yeah. So anyway, but there's I had Matt on from Crust Buster. It's actually out of Spearman, Kansas, there on there yesterday. I had David Bray on there talking about microbes, and I had Mary on there from New Ag Supply. They got all kinds of good parts and stuff to go on your planters and drills, and that was just a wonderful show. The reception was good. There was a lot of people there, and if you've never been to the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, you need to go.
Right, and you didn't run out of people to talk to. There's people like farm shows like that, and like the Cattlemen's Congress coming up here, that national cattle show.
That's going to be my second test.
Well, there's so many innovative ideas and things going on with new technology that I bet you ran out of time before you ran out of people.
Oh, no, I could have spent a week out there. I mean, it's only 3 days, but I know everybody was missing me being on Facebook on the show, so I had to get back, and I had Jimmy scheduled way before the farm show, so we're going to get this going on. And just quick thing, not really much going on as far as what's causing any ups and downs in the markets right now. The corn's up today, really nice. December corn's up at 460, March is 483. January soybeans are down at 1347, and then actually it just changed. Now it's unchanged, so they're back up to where they was when they started the day. Soybean meal is 446 short ton. It's up at $1.70. Soybean oil's down a half a penny at 52.22 for December. And hard red winter wheat is down, is up 5 cents at 6.45 for December. It's looking good. Cotton's even up 79.07 for December, up a half a penny, and so is March at 80.12. And then cattle. Here we go. Another one of these deals. I heard all kinds of rumors on this cattle market craziness out there. Might have been from some guys I know that live down here closer to Lawton, Oklahoma. But December live cattle is down $1.75 today at $170.15. And February is down $171.05. Feeder cattle for January, $219.30. Down $2.90, and March is $221.60, down $2.65. Lean hogs are basically unchanged. Whoop, here it goes again. December lean hogs are $68.90, and February are up $1.30 at $71.40. Yesterday at the Hobart Stockyards, what happened? They had a good sale. I had a buddy sell some down there, and he did really good. Let's see here. On steers, 3 to 4 weights, we're bringing up to 307.50, and 4 to 5 weights, we're bringing up to 292. 5 to 6 weights, we're bringing up to 265. And then, let's see here, 6 to 7 weights, we're bringing up to 240. And on the heifers, 3 to 4 weights, 275. 4 to 5 weights, 265. And 5 to 6 weights, we're bringing 247. Looks like, what they have? They had some slaughter cows bringing up to $1.25, some slaughter bulls bringing up to $1.49.50, bred cows bringing up to $23.25. That's pretty good. And then some pairs were bringing up to $22.20. So a good sale going on out there. All right, we're going to go break early because Jimmy and Jimmy Show always runs out of time. So we're going to kiss a couple extra minutes in here. So we're going to, and today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour. When we get back, I got to talk about that. And then I got to congratulate Jimmy in person for him and Tracy on their award they got from the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. So it's great you're in here on this day. How about that?
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. We're going to take a break. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Before we get to that, let's go out in the panhandle out west here, and it is 48 degrees at Miami, humidity is at 68%, dew point's 38, the winds are out of the northwest at 12 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 30 miles an hour. So it's coming. Month-to-date precipitation at Miami is 0.37 inches. Red flag minutes, zero. No sub-freezing minutes, zero. And 8-inch soil temperature is 49 degrees. Warmed up a couple degrees from yesterday. Well, as Oklahoma's largest general farm organization, with members in all 77 counties represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by our office in Cheyenne. Memberships are just $37.50 a year and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts from various businesses. 580 497-2579. 497-2579. Or you can just go to okfarmbureau.org and to join. So anyway, and speaking of the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, here just 2 or 3 weeks ago, Jimmy, or James as the article read, James and Tracy Taylor were awarded District 2 Farm and Ranch Family of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jimmy.
What'd you have to do to get that?
Well, it's quite an honor to be recognized by your peers, and we're just so grateful that they put us up for that award, and we got it.
Got it. Well, anyway, congratulations to you and Tracy. She finally got to go to a show and get an award herself, huh?
Yes. Yeah. So, and I might add that Farm Bureau membership, that's quite a value. I'm a little biased. I'm on that board
right
up there. But if you were at that annual meeting,
yep,
got to hear all kinds of information about what's going on in agriculture, and our resolutions process took place a couple of different times Saturday, and that's anything that you might see that might need to be tweaked as far as laws or regulations. Resolutions are submitted and talked about and voted on. So if you've got something that you don't think is quite right for agriculture tax wise or any of that, that's an opportunity to get the Farm Bureau organization involved in trying to change something like that. When those resolutions are passed, then that gives orders to our lobbyist, and when legislation comes up he can lobby for it with those legislators that might be on the fence, or if something comes up that's harmful for agriculture, he can lobby against it.
Right. Well, and what I like about it is I'm pretty vocal myself, and I can call Nick Archer, I can call Anthony Moore, and I can actually call them and tell them what's on my mind. Mm-hmm. But really and truly, the best way is to go through an organization, mm-hmm, like the Oklahoma Farm Bureau, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, and the resolutions you guys proposed from Roger Mills County, they passed, if I remember right.
Yep, we had three, I think we had five total. Three passed, and two were combined with other like resolutions.
Right.
The resolutions committee meets about 3 weeks before that and goes through those, and you might have different language coming from different counties, but those are all looked at and combined into the best language. We actually had one of our board members serve on that committee this year, Ethan Smith.
Right.
Served on that, did a really good job, and Josh Haven was also up there at the meeting. And,
yeah.
So, yeah, we had pretty good success with the resolutions that
we put
forward.
What was one of them?
There's... county assessor wise, there's a new law in place where when you go to protest, like with an oil company or a company like that, that they can bring a lawyer or a tax expert. And used to, the county assessor could bring an expert also, where the equalization board could hear both sides like that. The law was passed that now the county assessor cannot be represented. She has to be by herself.
And she has to know her stuff.
Right. Well, that would be like going to court and the other side's got a lawyer and you don't.
Right.
And we had a resolution that's trying to correct that in that she should have the right to be represented also by an expert.
Yeah.
So that's one of them.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. And, I'm glad I joined. I never was into the stuff. I always knew about it, but I'm glad I joined now and got to go to my first meeting up Cheyenne. Mm-hmm. The food was worth the trip.
Another of the two that were combined was doing away with the state income tax that's proposed.
Right.
You know, on the face value, that sounds pretty good. But if they do away with that, they're going to have to make up that revenue somewhere else, and probably ad valorem taxes would be the first place they would look, which would not be good for agriculture.
Nope.
So had some language to address that in there.
So this is the reason why people need to become a member of the, well, for example, what we're talking about, the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. They do great, because there's a lot of that stuff that
the general public don't understand totally. And, you know, when you got lobbyists working for you full time, boom.
That's,
and, I mean, your voice is heard at the local level.
Right. And that gets us at the table at the state level. And as the old saying goes, if you're not at the table, you're going to be on the menu. So, you know, you want to prevent that.
You won't even get dessert.
Nope.
Anyway, so what's what do you it's a busy time of the year for you, too. What do you got going on at the ranch?
Well, it's actually my office time. We were really busy first part of November and getting our calves vaccinated, getting ready for AI season, breeding season. But we got that done about mid-November, and now the bulls are all out with the cows, and I'm getting a little office time to catch up on some of my paperwork. The spring calving cows are on cruise control right now. They're still in the far pastures.
Right.
They will start bringing them in probably mid-January to start calving mid-February. We'll bring them in January, give them a round of shots.
That's my plan, too.
Get them into a pasture that's close to where they'll be calving so we can just pop them in. When we get about day 261, 262 on gestation is when I like to get them in there, because historically mine will start calving around day 265 or 266.
Right. So what is your time frame? 45 days, is that right?
On as far as the breeding season?
Yeah.
Heifers, it's 25 days.
Right.
And cows, it's 52 days.
Okay.
Right. Try to get them through three heat cycles there. So, but we've, up into this year, we have AI'd for years. And so most of them will be front-end loaded. You know, we'll have 60% of them due on the first day of calving season.
Yeah.
So, and that'll, you know, they don't all come on that day. It'll stretch out about 2.5 weeks there.
Right.
But we did it different this year.
Oh, yeah? Tell me more.
Miss Tracy finally won the argument that we need to slow down. And I was having some meetings conflict with breeding seasons. So this time we decided not to AI the cows. We're AIing the heifers.
Right.
But not the cows. And we've got DNA information on all the females, all right. Our cows.
Yep.
And the bulls. So I would pick all my bulls where they were really strong or where they needed some help, and I'd sort the cows accordingly. Like if a bull was really high in milk, I put my low milking cows in with him to bring that up into an optimal range.
Right.
And same with a low milking bull. Some of my cows have too much milk for our environment, and that's where they would go. And I'd look at marbling, fat, some of the female traits too, replacement heifer traits.
Right.
And that's how I sorted the cows to go with the different
bulls. So how many different breed pastures did you have this year?
We've got six on cows, and then we'll have two on heifers.
Yeah, heifers. Right. And they, that's the reason why I was asking how many bunches of cows you have, because, you know, when you're AIing, you could go through there and get them AI the way you want it, and you didn't have to worry about it. But yeah, a little different setup.
Since this is new, I'm experimenting. I use the same numbers. Our cow numbers in pastures will range, I think, 34 in the least and 41 in the most,
right,
which is how we were doing at AI. Of course, with AI, you're going into there with 60% of your animals bred. So the bulls got a lighter load. The difficulty there is if they synced with the cedars and the protocols, they're not going to come into heat again till day 18, and then all of them will be coming in that didn't stick the first time will be coming in day 18 through 24. So the bull won't have anything to do till day 18, and then he'll get really busy.
I got you.
This way, my theory is it's spread out because we didn't give any cedars, no AI protocols.
You didn't synchronize.
So they're going to be spaced out, you know, over the first 21 days. However many cows, you know, if you had 42 cows, that'd be two a day.
Yeah.
You know, it'll vary. Some days you'd have zero, and I'm sure some days you'll have three or four.
Be busy.
Yep.
Be busy.
So I'm going to try with these numbers, the same ones we were using with AI, and see if it works.
See what? So, yeah, so we'll have to have you back in here in probably, what, about April?
Mm-hmm.
And see how that went. They'd be done by April.
We've been tracking the bulls, and they were fairly busy that first 21 days.
Right.
And now we're still checking, and we're seeing the bulls looking, but looks like
they did their job.
Right.
They did their job. Well, let's go ahead and take our first our second break. We'll go ahead and take a break. How about that? When I come back, I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma agriculture weather update for you, because things are happening outside right now. Actually, it started registering here at the studio now, so we're getting a little bit of rain. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November the 20th. 2,227 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 338 brought 343. 6 at 503 brought 299. 10 at 522 brought 296. 8 at 582 brought 249.50. 5 at 613 brought 240. 4 at 635 brought 216. 6 at 688 brought 208. 8 head of heifers at 449 brought 265. 6 at 465 brought 257. 4 at 514 brought 231. 5 at 604 brought 212. 6 at 689 brought 206. 5 at 707 brought 178. 14 at 952 brought 190. Butcher cows were 50 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 82 to 129. Bred cows were 1150 to 1860. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every month Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The pasture range and forage rainfall insurance program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see here. Mr. Taylor, pick me a town in Northwestern Oklahoma, see if I can get close to it.
Well, let's pick Slap Out my good friend Alan Jett lives.
All right. Let me get it up there. And they actually got a mezzanine center. Let's see if it's working today. Come on. There we go. It is. 43 degrees at Slap Out. Dew point's 33. Humidity 68. The winds are calm. That front must be just easing right there because it's getting ready to get rowdy out of the north. 24-hour rainfall, 0 10-day, a little over half inch, 53 one-hundredths, or around Grimes in Roger Mills County, that would be 531 thousandths of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 41. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunset at 5:26 p.m. Today, 80% chance of rain showers, 49 degrees. And tonight, 70% chance of snow. How about that? 24 degrees for a low with northwest winds, 12 to 14 miles an hour. And tomorrow, not too bad, 44 degrees and sunny with north winds, 6 to 10 miles an hour. Let's check the radar, see. Yep, it's raining a little bit up there. Man, Roger Mills County is starting to cover it pretty good. Elk City and Hollis, or Harmon and Greer, and parts of Kiowa County and Custer is getting some showers now.
What's Berlin looking like?
Berlin is looking like rain showers.
Good. About,
yep. It's, yeah, because that's the closest town to you, ain't it?
You bet.
Yeah, it's right there. So, anyway. Well, Jimmy Taylor from the Taylor Ranch is on here with me today, and we were just talking about before we went to break about what he had going on at the ranch. And but Jimmy's been a busy person, and hopefully we can get it all covered today. But let's see. Let's start with your trip overseas. You want to?
You bet.
Because Jimmy brought me a brochure to read on air from what some of the news people over there said about him. My Japanese or Korean ain't very good. He's kind of a funny guy. You know, Jimmy's got a dry sense of humor, so it works out pretty good. But when was that? 3 months ago? When did you go?
September,
yeah. Yep. And you went to Korea, South Korea, and so, then you went to Japan.
Seoul, South Korea, and Tokyo, Japan, yes. Went on a trade mission over there.
Right.
USMEF, United States Meat Export Federation, put that together and had 20 team members other than USMEF staff. And those team members were representing the beef industry, pork industry, corn industry, and soy industry.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize those red meat exports. And by the way, USMEF works with beef, pork, and lamb.
Okay.
In their exports. But those also benefit the corn and soy industries. It'll add, it's been a while since I looked at those numbers, but last ones I looked at, I believe it was adding close to a dollar to the price of a bushel of corn and close to $2 to the price of soybeans.
Right.
So they're very beneficial to those industries. So they put money in to that effort to help USMEF in their efforts to export our red meat products overseas. USMEF has 19 offices around the world working about 80 different countries. These two markets we went to were the number one market in South Korea and the number three market in Japan.
What's the number two?
China,
that's right.
Yeah, just past Japan. That's due this last year.
I remember seeing those numbers a few months ago, and I was sitting there going, yeah, I know it's not Japan, and it's China. You're right. And so they, I was following you a little bit on Facebook, and then you had some media stuff, people talking to you and following you. And I remember you going to eat out in Seoul, and you was wearing your cowboy hat. So did you have anybody come up to you and say, are you a real cowboy?
No, I had a lot of lookers, though. I kind of stuck out. I'm a little tall anyway, and taller than most people over there. And then the cowboy hat on top of that.
Did you have to bend down to go through the doors?
No, I had regular sized doors. But did get some odd looks.
So what come of that meeting? I mean, I know I've seen some of your interviews and some of your statements from what happened over there, but do they have any concerns, or were they bragging? What were they doing?
Those people are very, they like meat and producers.
Okay.
Very concerned with safety of their food coming in there. Most of their food is imported. You know, those are small countries.
Yep.
Our main competitor over there in both countries as far as beef is Australia.
Okay.
And we're slightly ahead of Australia in both, and gaining in market share in South Korea, and I believe a little bit in Japan too. But Australia's beef is grass-fed. Right. Ours is grain-fed. So once they get a taste of our grain-fed, they love it. And part of the education process is teaching them about grain-fed, how to cook it, the different cuts, and that's part of what USMEF does.
Right. Give us an example on the cuts. What are you talking about? Like how they do a roast or how they cook a steak or a hamburger?
Well, they have their own way of doing it. We'll try to show them, you know, like opportunity we had to work with them. We had an evening with 40 different food bloggers there, and we were cooking steaks, and there was a fellow producer from Kentucky that was grilling, and he had a mic on, and he was talking about so many minutes on you know, 4 to 5 minutes on one side, 4 to 5 minutes on the other, and he was telling them how to tell where you were getting the medium rare, which he was trying to get to. And those food bloggers were crowded all around watching this cooking lesson. They were so intent that our cameraman that was kind of recording all this, he was having trouble getting in there.
So did he hand the camera to you? So
No. But then after that cooking demonstration, and they did one on pork too, we split up into about 7 or 8 different tables and there were about 2 of us per table. And these food bloggers cooked our steaks for that table, and we were supposed to give advice if needed, but our table did a really good job.
Right.
So they learned about how to cook American style there, how to cook a steak, and they were blogging that evening about it, you know, on social media. On
bragging. Well,
yes, had pictures and about the event. Really neat exposure for U.S. beef.
Right.
And pork.
Pork, there. Yeah. Well, that's great. And you know, Korean people are really good people. I've met a lot of people from South Korea, and met a lot of them mainly through the military when I was mm-hmm. in the military. And they are very picky, though.
They are. And you can tell that they're very proud.
Yes.
And unemployment rate's like a little over 2%. But their streets, you won't find a speck of trash on it. Clean. Same way in Japan, they just take a lot of pride and there's no trash cans out there either. They just take care of whatever trash they have. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no hay wrap on the road, is there?
Nope. Nope.
Sorry.
Don't do that. But then they have their own dishes where we were observing their culture. One of them is shibu shibu. It's a real thinly sliced, probably off a roast.
Okay.
Where they get this, and it's a social event. Going to a restaurant is a social event. There's a hot pot at each table, and you cook your own food. There are vegetables and this real thinly sliced beef, and you take a pair of tongs and put that in there. And it just takes 7 or 8 seconds to get a little piece ready to go, and you fix everybody's meal there. And I was looking around. We were about the only older people in there. Most of the clientele in that restaurant were in their 20s and 30s, and
younger.
You could tell it was just friends enjoying the evening together.
Right.
Really neat.
Yeah.
Very young population in Korea, and very accepting of American beef. That is such a success story for USMEF. If you remember back when the BSE cow happened in 2003,
oh, yeah.
Exports went in the tank. It went to zero in 2006 in South Korea. They started bringing American beef back. USMEF was part of that effort.
2008 or nine?
Well, in 7 and 8, there were protests in the street because American beef was coming back in. They didn't think it was safe.
Right.
And you fast forward that to today, going from zero, now we're their number. They're our number one market in exports. We exported $2.7 billion worth last year.
That's a lot
going
of beef.
Going from zero to $2.7
billion.
Billion with a B.
That's a lot of beef.
Right. And the consumer confidence in 2010, that was about 5% on American beef. The consumers, you know, didn't have much confidence in that. Last year it was 70%, and that just speaks to the job that USMEF has done over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, on across the water there, let's go to Japan. Anything cool there happen?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of things I'm leaving out. It's just a lot of stuff you don't see every day. Both peoples were very friendly. Get to Japan. Thing that, I guess, information-wise that stuck out there is their savings rate is one of the highest, if not the highest, in the world. So they've got the funds to spend on premium products. You know, if they want to go out and buy a ribeye, they've got the funds to do so. I had the honor of, we had a larger event where we had 400 importers and businesses come in, 400 people, and I had the honor of speaking about US beef there and spoke about our grading system. That's unique to the United States, the Prime Choice Select.
Right.
And how, you know, when you could tell your quality by looking for that on the packages as they were buying. And they're very concerned with safety over there. So we talked food safety and how our food is inspected, the process the inspectors go through. And our beef quality assurance program where any producer can take that, and I think like 80% of the cattle that are end up fat cattle are go through that system.
Right.
So it's just an assurance that our product is safe, and that is a big concern to them.
Well, let's stop right there and take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, and we'll be right back. And Jimmy and I are already running out of time. Imagine that. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
We have several new items in the store for Christmas season. The Ice Mule Ice Chest, which is designed to be the world's most portable high-performance soft cooler. We also have the Snap touchless sanitizers for your hands, perfect for those teachers or healthcare professionals. We also have our Wahoo boards, 4-player, 6-player, 8-player, and every board comes with your marbles and instructions of how to play. We will also be stocked up on our Brewmate cups, so we'll have several different designs for you to choose from for Brewmate. And we also have a wide selection of Elk City gear, shirts, sweatshirts, hats for the guys. The store is very festive with all your Christmas decor to decorate your house, decorate your tree. We have our Swan Creek candles, one of our top sellers.
Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, located at 1220 West 3rd Street in Elk City in between Sherwin-Williams and Subway.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can, especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
To find out more, visit DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City. With all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust, The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. No, here we go again. I can't get, after saying that 2 years, it's hard for me to change. I'm sorry. Here is your ag weather update provided by the Hobart Farm and Garden there in Hobart, Oklahoma. I've chosen Mangum because I had a message sent to me earlier, something about cattle and flat rocks and all kinds of stuff going on. So let's do Mangum. 53 degrees, dew point's 53, humidity's 98, winds are out of the southeast at 6 miles an hour. So far today, you have 0.06 inches of rain, 10-day rain total, 37 one-hundredths of an inch, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 45 degrees, that's up a couple of degrees from yesterday, 1-day average 10-inch fraction of water, no reading there, sunset 527, rain showers likely 70% today, and 59 degrees. And tonight, 60% chance of rain showers, 34 low, northwest winds, 7 to 13 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 53 degrees, and northwest winds in the morning, switching, be coming out of the southwest at 6 to 9 miles an hour. I looked at the Long Ranger a while ago, and it looks like maybe after tonight or tomorrow night, we're not going to have any freezing weather at night, and 50s and 60s during the day for the first week of December. Hey, speaking of first, that reminds me, your LRP, Livestock Risk Protection, insurance deadline today and tomorrow. Tomorrow's the deadline. Better get her signed up.
Don't forget that.
Yeah, and I'm sure you call your insurance agent right now. They probably wouldn't be too happy. But anyway, it is tomorrow's deadline. I seen Ag Defense out there at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, and they were busy, and they were showing numbers over a 10-year period. Will and I were talking to them. They had this Will Fortune going on over there. So Will and I were talking to him, and he was showing me that, you know, they paid premiums in Beckham County 7 out of the last 10 years.
Right. And it's a good product, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know,
you use it.
I do. The first part of the year is looking like El Nino will still be around, which is a wet period for us. But looking more and more like La Nina might be poking its head in around mid-year. So yeah. Last part of the year, it... That sure might be helpful.
That's exactly what he said. He said, you know, the El Nino usually shuts off March because it's a winter wet weather pattern, and it's kind of showing its deal right now. It's not nothing major, but it's more moisture than we had last winter already. And then that El Nino pokes in there a little bit towards the end of the year, might be a little dry.
Right. La Nina's typically a dry for us.
Yep. So anyway, if you don't have it, it's not too late. Find your favorite agent, call them right now and see if you can get them to smile. But anyway, tomorrow is the deadline. So anyway, so we were talking about exports before we went to break, and we got about 6-7 minutes left here. How does exports help the producers in the United States?
Right. Last year was a record-setting year for exports, $11.68 billion in exports. What that means to producers is that number added $447 to every fat animal. And, you know, that the more you go up the chain, the longer you own that animal, the more that you're going to realize.
Right.
You know, if you sell it as a weaning calf, you won't see as much. But the guy that's selling fats, you know, he can a packer could afford to pay more because they're going to make more.
Right.
On there. You hear people say, well, I never saw my, there were no exports. Then every fat animal would be worth $447 less. Let that trickle down.
Right.
You're going to feel that.
Because it will trickle down.
Right. And then each level could afford to pay less for the animals they're buying.
Right.
So that would go right on down.
See, that's best I've ever heard that explained. Because, you know, you've heard it. I've heard it. I don't see none of that stuff when they send that overseas. Yes, mm-hmm. You do. You just don't know it.
Mm-hmm. About 15% of our production is exported. But we're running month to month. But putting it in perspective, historically, we're still doing really good. Before 2021, we had never had a month that we sold over $800 million worth of exports. Most of our months in this year have been over $800 million. We're going to finish up around $10 billion worth of exports, which will be third place all time. The third place currently is $8.33 billion, which happened back in 2018. So we're well above that. We're up in that range where we've been the last 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
So back a little bit, seeing some headwinds with the strong dollar. Lower cattle numbers, just not as many cattle available.
Right.
To go. But we're seeing a little headwinds domestically, too. As you know, the consumer so far has been willing to spend money on beef, but there's going to be a point there where that price will get a little too high. They're still spending right now, but you're seeing maybe some of them opting for lesser quality cuts that aren't as expensive.
Right.
So seeing a little of that starting.
Well, I've seen a lot of social media lately on this lady I know in Iowa. You know, she preaches like I do, I guess, if you want to call it preaching. You know, buying local beef mm-hmm. from local producers like yourself,
right?
And getting it processed lately locally has really, I think it's kind of it's gaining momentum.
Right. And I think, you know, we're more of a rural area.
Right.
And we've sure got momentum here.
Yes.
People recognize the quality they get
right.
when they go that way. But I think there'll be another twist on it in the larger cities. There seems to be a movement, kind of a know your rancher
right.
type movement.
Yes.
They'll want that story from pasture to plate. Where did their beef come from?
Right.
And this, you know, the local beef, you're able to do that, right. unlike buying it from a larger chain.
Well, I think what do you think has caused the last 3 or 4 years the beef consumption is really good, and I don't know what the percentages you might know from 2018 to now, if how much beef consumption is going on at the local level, our country level, and our worldwide level. Obviously, it's doing really good on our exports.
Mm-hmm.
So what's causing that?
Well, I don't have, I think the job that USMEF is doing
yes.
is the international
right.
reason and the quality of our beef. Once again, we're about the only country, Canada would have some that are grain-fed, but we're one of the only ones that have grain-fed beef. In some countries, such as China, we're competing against grass-fed and water buffalo.
Right.
So once they get a taste of our product, they like it.
Yeah.
They just need education on how to prepare it. So that's the international story. Last year, beef demand domestically was at a 33-year high. So
right.
I think the quality has improved. You look at genetics.
Big time.
You've been to some of those bull sales, and there's more information there. The marbling numbers just keep going up and up, and the ribeye numbers are keeping pace.
Right.
You know, used to when the carcass cattle first came out, a lot of them, majority of them, you get a high marbling number, but you get to looking at that animal, and there wasn't much muscling there.
Right.
That's not the case anymore.
Right.
They're good animals with that high marbling number. And I think the purebred breeders are doing a really good job of producing more bulls that have that quality and giving us commercial guys more options to buy.
And the quality of bulls in Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle is probably just as good as any in the country. All right.
Jimmy, we ran out of time.
I know. I had one more question. I'll save it for a month or two from now on. Probably best. Anyway, Jimbo Taylor, Mr. James Taylor, thank you for joining James Clark in Today in Ag. Brought to you by First National Bank, Sayre, and Elk City, Oklahoma. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jimmy.
All right. See you guys.
The biggest songs from the biggest stars.
Click on me.
KECO, Elk City.
They're working on it. Our